Philippians chapter 2, I want to speak to you this evening on shining as lights. We read a couple of verses this morning about shining our lights, and I just want to mention that some things about that this evening. It's been heavy in my heart, especially in the days in which we live, and we'll say more about that in just a moment. Philippians chapter 2, if you would, if you're able to do so, if you would stand please with us, out of reverence for God's Word. Chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 9, because that starts us off in a good place. Verse 9 says, wherefore God has also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And those are good verses to remember in the day and age in which we live, because there are so many that are crying out against God and in rebellion to God and anger toward God. But there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now with much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, it doesn't end the sentence there. The verse ends there. The sentence is not in there. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And he tells us in verse 15, we're among whom we are to shine as lights in the world. I want to speak to you very quickly tonight on that thought, shining as lights. Shining as lights. Bright lights in a dark world. Heavenly Father, I pray to help us this evening, as we ought to be bright lights in a dark world. And Lord, you commanded us in this passage of Scripture. You have put us among them. And Lord, oftentimes we look for an easier path. We look for a more pleasant environment. But Lord, you said you've placed us among them for a reason. That reason is to shine as bright lights in a dark world. Lord, help us to do that this week. Give us the courage and the wherewithal, Lord, in the places where we don't think we have what it takes, would you give us a grace that you talked about this morning. Lord, so often we find ourselves in places where we will say with David Gibbs, I lack, and I can't do this. And Lord, it's at those moments in those places where when we don't have the resources that he sung about just a moment ago, that your grace kicks in and your grace gives us exactly what we need. So I pray, Lord, this week, Lord, I pray that perhaps some that may be here tonight may be ministering to the Justice family this week. Lord, if we be honest, we don't have what it takes to give comfort and solace in an hour like that. So we ask your grace. Lord, I pray specifically for those that will have the opportunity to minister to them this week, whether it be from this church or from another church, but they're believers or born-again people. Lord, I pray they would minister grace. And may you give them the grace to minister that this week. Lord, other needs are represented in burdens here tonight. Lord, I pray for wisdom and guidance for your people. May you shine the light of your wisdom upon their path this week. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for what you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Three very simple thoughts this evening about bright lights in a dark world. Notice, first of all, number one, the state of darkness. The state of darkness. Verse 15 tells us, he said that you may be blameless and harmless with the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Welcome. We're here. This past Friday, when our president that we did not elect, but we obviously deserved, mandated or gave a statement that all public schools should allow those of transgender sex to go in whatever bathroom they choose. Someone came in this morning and said something about that, and I thought, well, we have a handicapped bathroom. That way, if you change your mind while you're in there, you're still fit in. And but what kind of, by the way, I thought it interesting to note that they put that at the end of the school year. I don't know about you, but I look for enrollment in public and private schools to spike next year. Because what's to say a 16-year-old boy can't go into a bathroom with a 14-year-old girl Can you imagine the rape and the harassment, to say the least, that's going to take place? We live in a perverse and a crooked nation. He tells us that in verse 15. So the state of darkness. Why is the light important? Number one, because of the state of the darkness. In Romans chapter 13, in verse 12, the Bible says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I don't have the time to go into that, but that phrase is interesting, the armor of light. Did you understand that the Word of God is our protection? That when we clothe ourselves in the works of darkness, we're opening ourselves to every evil imaginable. And yet he says, put on the armor of light. In Romans chapter 13, in verse 12, he said, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Then he said in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And those are certainly characteristics of our day, drunkenness and wantonness. Rioting, chambering, strife, and envy, the state of our darkness, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And I don't think we understand, fully grasp the evil and the power that the darkness gives in our world. It's a stated fact that most crimes are committed at night in the darkness to hide their evil deeds, and yet we don't sometimes understand the wickedness. And if I would encourage you, and I don't want to get you in trouble, Brother Jennings, but sometimes you've had opportunity to, if you've ever had opportunity to ride with a police officer, and I know there's a lot more restrictions now on that now than what there used to be, but I'm telling you, if you could spend 24 hours, just one shift with our officers on the street. By the way, let me just go ahead and say, they're grossly underappreciated and underpaid. I don't want to get sidetracked, but we can spend millions of dollars on a ball player to play a stupid game, and yet can't pay those men that put their and women who put their life on the line every single day. And yet the thing, and they will tell you the things they that they encounter. I spent, and this has been a number of years ago, I had the privilege of being on a grand jury for 3 months. I don't know how they do it now, but back in those days, you would go, I think maybe once a week, one day a week, for 3 months, and you would serve on a grand jury. And it was you heard a lot more cases than what you would hear if you were to go to hear or sit on a jury. And I'm going to tell you the things that, I remember one lady very vividly, they were giving evidence on a sexual molestation case, and a lady was giving testimony of the facts that they had found. It's interesting, and Brother Jennings will back me up on this, that in over 75%, and that probably is a low figure, but on over 75% of child molestation cases, over 75% of those cases, it goes back to the mom's boyfriend. 75%. Now, Brother James may challenge that or correct that, but I remember hearing one, and there's a lady, and I don't remember her name or anything about her, but I remember she'd been on the force for a long time, and she gave testimony about that. A man got up after that, had also been on the force for that area for a number of times, and I think the judge was asking questions, and you could tell he was visibly shaken by the evidence he was giving. And he made this statement. Here's a guy who was, and again, that's probably been at least 15 years ago, minimum. And this guy was probably in his mid to late 50s at least, maybe early 60s. Been in law enforcement for a long time. And I remember the judge asking him a question to describe something and to give more detail. And you could tell he kind of lost his composure. And he made this statement. He said, I'm sorry, but even after all these years, you never get used to this filth. And I thought, here's men that see it every day. I'm talking about the perverse and crooked nation, and we live in that day. Well, why is it that way? Well, let me give you the ABCs and Ds of why the state of darkness. Number one, it's a dark night, or it's a dark day in our culture. Number one, because of our apathy to the light. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 1. He said God is clearly shown through creation and through other things. God has clearly shown his eternal power. So they're without excuse. It is a non-thinking individual. We have a lot of them in our day. But it's a non-thinking individual that can look at all that God has created and God has made and will say it just happened by accident. If you believe that happens by accident, I'll tell you what you do. Go home and take your laptop computer apart. Take it all apart. Take all the pieces in the back of a pickup truck, just throw them back there, ride around for an hour, and I promise you when the hour's over, when you come back, by accident, they'll all be back in place all over again. You say, preacher, that's absurd. It's no more absurd than what they're teaching our public schools about evolution, how we just evolved, and it was a cosmic blast, and here we are. It's not more any more foolish than that. And yet God, man has rejected the light, and because of our apathy to the light, God has put us in darkness. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, he said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And the Bible says, and their foolish heart was darkened. When they refused to retain the knowledge of God in their heart, when they refused to acknowledge him as God, the Bible said they were not thankful. He said, goes on to say, they were vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It gets darker every time we ignore God. Now, he's talking to the heathen, Romans chapter 1, in that particular passage. But can I say to you, that's true for the saint as well. Every time we ignore the light of God's word, don't miss this, our heart gets darker. At the end of a service, we will have an invitational hymn. And we'll oftentimes say this is decision time. And somehow we get in our mind that it's a decision for me to either stay where I am with God or to go forward with God. And let's just be blunt. Oftentimes it's more comfortable, is it not? And it's more convenient to just stay where we are. And yet we somehow have this false notion that decision time is either I go forward with God or I stay comfortable and stay where I am with God. I want to tell you, that never happens. Because when we reject God's knowledge, our heart becomes darkened. Every message you hear, every scripture you read, every time your attention is called to the Word of God, every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you and to me, either we take a step closer to God or else we take a step away from God. You never stay neutral in the Christian life. Never. And Paul has told us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 that when they acknowledged not God because they glorified him not as God, they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. They got just a little bit darker. Have you ever wondered how that people can sit in a church like ours and hear the preaching over and over and over again and then go so far from the gospel? Preacher, how in the world does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Because we're accountable for every time we hear the Word of God. And we never stay neutral. I was reading this past week or listening to an individual, and he was giving an interview on the radio, and he was talking about his family. And boy, the things that he and his family were involved in, I'm like, and then he made this statement. He said, now, my dad was a preacher. And I thought, how in the world could this many kids from a family go to this kind of lifestyle? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the foolish heart was darkened. They rejected that. And so the first reason our world is so dark is because of the apathy to the light. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but a famine of what? Some of you know this verse, but a famine of what? Not the word of God, but a famine of what? Somebody said it. Hearing the word of God. There's never a famine of the word. There's a famine of hearing of the word. The Bible said there will come a day in that day when the Lord, when the day shall come that I will send a famine land, not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's coming a day when they will no longer take heed to this book. And boy, we live in that day. There was a day in our country when the word of God was revered. Many of you remember growing up and going to school, and you read from the Bible every single day in a public school. Many of you did. Boy, now you can't even take a scripture on the school grounds, on the property, unless someone be offended and you end up in jail. So why has our world become so dark? Because of our apathy to the light. Number two, there's the A, the apathy to the light. Number two, because of the blindness, the letter B, the blindness of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oftentimes we look at people and cultures especially. May God give us wisdom in divorcing and separating the sinner from the sin. So often we look at people and we think, man, they're so stupid. Or they're so ignorant. Or they're so wicked. Understand, they're only wicked because their eyes have been blinded. They don't know better. They've not seen the truth. The vast majority of us were raised by parents, or at least by someone that had some moral, even if your parents were not saved, they had some kind of moral upbringing. They at least had respect for authority and decency and honor in our day. And yet there are kids growing up in a culture today that, I'm going to be honest with you, when you see what some of our kids grow up in, that it is no wonder whatsoever the reason why they act the way they act and why they do the things they do. When there's more men, pardon my frankness, when there's more men coming in and out of the mama's bedroom door in a month than they can count, is it any wonder they live like animals? When there's no decency, when there's no code of ethics or any rules or any discipline at all in the home, there was a day when at least if you didn't get it at home, you at least got it at school. I'm going to tell you, I feel sorry for school teachers today. Challenge, what a great challenge it is for school teachers to have to impose discipline. When the kids come from a home 24/7 that has no discipline, then they got to set them down in the schoolroom and attempt to teach them. Why is our darkness, our world so dark? Number one, because of the apathy of the light. Number two, because of the blindness of the devil. Number three, the letter C, because of the course of the world. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He talks about it in another phrase, in another passage. He uses the children of darkness. And so understand, because of the course of this world is getting progressively more and more wicked. That's the direction we're going. And so we understand the light is important. We're talking about shine the light now. We're talking about being a bright light in a dark world. And the reason we need a bright light is because of the state of the darkness. Why is it so dark in our society? Well, it's dark because of the apathy toward the light. By the way, our nation has had their chance. Men like D.L. Moody and George Whitfield, and men going before that who preached the gospel in this country. I think about those who've given their life and to preach the gospel, and we rejected the gospel over and over. It's interesting that some of the places that had the most vibrant preaching in the early days of our country, you go back to the colleges up in the Northeast, probably the most hardened place in the country to the gospel is the Northeast. And yet that's in the early days, that's where the great revivals broke out. That's where the prayer meetings were started. You go back to the place where D.L. Moody and other men of that day preached and had great revivals, and you go back and the churches are closed. Why? Because of apathy to the light, because of the blindness of the devil. Number three, because of the course of this world. And then number four, the letter D, because they delight in darkness. We delight in darkness. The Bible said in John 3, verse 19, and this is a commandment, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They love the darkness. They enjoy the darkness. And men, the reason our nation is so corrupt and so perverse, according to chapter 15, it's a crooked and perverse nation. The reason their state of our darkness is like it is because men delight in their evil deeds. They're not ashamed of it. I said a few weeks ago, and I said again this evening, that I don't believe there's a lot of difference now between the wickedness of our day than there was 50 years ago. The difference is 50 years ago, they were ashamed of it. They were embarrassed by it. They hid it in the closets. Now they broadcast it on the streets just as loud as they can. They delight in their evil ways. So number one, there's the state of darkness. Number two, notice very quickly, there's a source of light. If we're going to shine as bright lights in our day, number one, we've got to understand the state of darkness. In verse 15, he tells us, he said, I put you in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The Bible tells us he puts us in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And yet so many Christians spend most of their time trying to isolate themselves from a perverse generation. Now, I'm not talking about being a part of that generation, but somewhere the light's got to shine. The Bible says we're in a perverse and crooked nation among whom ye shine as lights. We ought to shine the light in here, but may I say to you, the light ought to go beyond these walls. It is the public schools that desperately need light. It is our corporations and our businesses and our workplaces that desperately need the light. And we have the opportunity, the obligation, and the responsibility of sharing that light. But where does the light come from? We're not light in and of ourselves. So where do we get light? Well, John chapter 8, verse 12 says, Then Jesus spake again to them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if we're going to have the light, where do we get it from? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He didn't say those that have met me shall not walk in darkness. He didn't say those that have passed by me will not walk in darkness. He said those that follow me will not walk in darkness. Why is it that so many believers who know the name of Christ and claim the name of Christ still go in darkness and walk in darkness because they're not following Christ? You see, he is the light. If we're following the light, then we're not going to walk in darkness. But when we distance ourselves from the light, then we're prone to walk in darkness as well. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, he said, Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So we know Christ is the light, and he said Christ will give us light. So where else does light come from? Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now understand, if we're going to shine as bright lights in the dark world, we must have exposure to the light. My dad years ago, and I've not seen it probably 30 years. I may have used it one time right after we moved here. I don't remember. It's been a long, long time. My dad had a light many years ago. It was on a stick. It had a light bulb on one end. On the other end, the cord ran through the light bulb and through the middle of it, there was a wooden block of wood, I guess. And the light bulb was on one end, and a cord ran through the middle, ran out the other end, and you would plug into a receptacle. If you took that cord, you just plugged it in, and you turned the switch on, the light would not come on. In the bottom of that piece of wood, it had two metal prongs. Now, how all this worked, I have no idea. But there were two metal prongs that came out of the bottom of that piece of wood. You could take that piece of wood, and you could take that cord, and you could plug it into the wall and turn the light on, turn the switch on. That light was not coming on. But if you took that piece of wood and you took those two metal prongs and you put them in a glass of water, the light still wouldn't come on. You say, Preacher, you're mixing water with electricity. That doesn't make sense. Well, you put a light in the water and you put those two prongs in the water and you plug it in and you turn the light on, the light's not coming on. Again, I don't understand the chemistry of all of it, but if you put salt inside that water, that light would illuminate. And the more salt you put in, the brighter the light got. Now, you could take that piece of wood and you could pick it up and bring those prongs out of the water. And as they came out of the water, the light would become dim. But you put them back in the salt water and the light became bright again. You know, the Bible says we are salt and we're light in this world. Where does our source of light come from? It comes from being in the light, being in Him. You see, this word is a light. The psalmist David said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And the more we are in Him and the more He is in us, the brighter we shine. Oh, but it's a strange thing that we don't spend time in His Word. All of a sudden, the light goes dim. I remember taking that light and you set that those prongs down all the way, and it would rest on the rim of the cup and the wood, and you'd set that thing down, and it would light up a room. But you begin to take that light and draw it out of that water, out of that salt. And all of a sudden, the farther you got away from the bottom, of course, the salt would settle to the bottom. And the farther away those prongs got from the bottom of the cup, the dimmer the light got. So eventually, it would just go out. Sad to say, I've known Christians who once shone bright. I mean, their life was a vibrant and a very real expression of Christ and His love. And boy, they were a great light in their community. But the further they got away from the truth, the further they got away from the Word, the further they got away from the Lord Jesus Christ, our light gets dim. And He says we're to shine as bright. He said, among whom you shine as lights in the world, we're to shine as a bright light. So number one, there's a state of the darkness. Number two, there's the source of light. And we must understand that our light is not going to shine bright unless we are in Him. We're in the source, and the source is in us. When we spend our time in the Word of God, boy, the light shines bright. We spend time in the prayer closet, the light is bright. We spend time fasting and prayer and seeking God, the light is bright. But the colder we get to the Word of God and the more distance we come from spending time along with Him, it's amazing how dim the light gets. With the distance comes the dimness. How bright is our light shining? We say, preacher, and understand the bulb was still there. And in many of us, the bulb is still there, but the light's not very bright. The more distant we get from the source of light, from the source of the Lord Jesus Christ, the dimmer our light gets. We ought to shine as bright lights. Number one, there's a state of darkness. Number two, there's a source of light. Number three, there's a scattering of the light. Notice again verse 15. He said, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, where are we to shine? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, you are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a verse we read this morning, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. There are three things about the scattering of the light. Number one, there's a direction of the light. Where is the light supposed to shine? The light's not supposed to shine in the light factory. And we almost want to come and pat ourselves on the back because our light shines bright in church. Well, there's light in here. What about your light shining at work? That's where the light is needed. What about your light shining at school? That's where the light is needed. It's easy to shine the light in a church house. There's plenty of light. By the way, in a place where there's plenty of light, other people are not going to notice how dim your light is. But when you're in the darkness, it's easy to tell how bright or how dim our light is. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you're the light of the world. Jesus said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Then he said in verse 16, let your light so shine among men. So where's the direction of our light? Our light ought to be shining in the darkness. Remember that song they sing in children's church? I guess they still sing it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hiding under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What's the last verse said? Let it shine till what? Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Well, our light ought to shine amongst a dark world. We ought not be afraid. Now, we ought not want to fellowship with the lost world, but we ought not be afraid that our light shine in the lost world. And sometimes we want to shun them. Sometimes we want to cast them aside because of maybe the way they act or something they do or something they say or because of their image. May I say to you, they need the light. We need to give the light to them, and we ought to shine brightly as lights in their world. No greater. Our kids are in a public school. No greater mission field in America than our public schools. Our folks that teach in the public schools and minister in the public schools. Man, what an opportunity. Man, what a mission field and a place to evangelize and give the gospel. You say, preacher, I can't. By the way, you can take a Bible in public school. Don't let them tell you you can't. You can. You still have a right to do that. And if God has put you in that mission field, thank God for it. Shine as a bright light. Don't let them affect you. You affect them. Give them the light of the gospel. It's desperately needed. Direction where we shine the light, not in the lighthouse. Shine the light in the darkness. Number two, not on the direction of the light, but number two, the duration of the light. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as a light unto shineth in a dark place. That's the direction. Then he goes on in that verse to say, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. There's a duration. There's a direction of scattering the light. You scatter the light in the darkness, in the dark place. Then there's a direction. Then there's a duration. He said, until the day star rise. What we say just a moment ago, shine that light till Jesus comes. He's the day star. When he talks about the day star rising, he's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the rapture of the church. He's talking about the time when Jesus Christ will come again. So our light ought to shine until Jesus comes and takes us home. Let our light shine that light till Jesus comes. Man, don't let it go out. In the dark places where you are, there's a direction of the light. There's a duration of the light. And then number three, there's a desire of the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your works, your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's the desire of the light? The desire of the light is that the Father might be glorified. It is not called attention to the lantern or to the flashlight or whatever utensil it is. The light does not attract attention to itself. You don't take a flashlight and that flashlight reflects upon the flashlight itself. No, it's in the darkness. That light is shining upon something. If you're in the dark at night and you have to go out to the garage or wherever and you take that light and you're pointing that light in a direction. You know where our light points? It points toward Jesus Christ so that He is glorified. The light does not get the glory. Someone once said that the Christian life is like a candle. It gives light to others while it itself is being consumed. Well, that's what the Christian life ought to be like. As our life is being burned up for Jesus Christ, it ought to give light to a dark world, and it ought to shine for the glory of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that we live in a crooked and perverse nation. I don't think anybody needs to tell us that. We know it. And if there was any doubt, our president verified that fact on Friday. He put a seal of approval upon it. We are a crooked and perverse nation, but we're to be as lights and shine the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, we cannot shine that which we do not have a connection to. You see, our power, the source of light, is coming from the Word of God. And if we're not spending time in the Word of God, then we can't shine the light, because this is where the light comes from. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In the Word, He was in the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the light. The psalmist David said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the light. And if we're not in the Word, then we don't have the light. You say, preacher, but I'm a Christian. I'm a light bulb. I'm a source of light. If you're not dwelling in the light, then you're not sharing the light. You're not shedding the light. We live in a dark society. Hey, don't curse the darkness. You know why we live in a state of darkness? Because of the apathy toward the light. We helped cause the darkness. Whether we want to fess up to it or not, we did. Our apathy toward the light brought about the state of darkness. The blindness of the devil, he blinds their eyes They can't see it because of the course of this world. This world is going directly in opposite direction where God is going. Because of the course of the world, then we talked about it also because of our men today delight in darkness. They love it. They don't want the truth. They run from the light. Why? Because the light exposes them for who and what they really are. I don't know about you, but we live in a crooked and perverse nation that desperately needs the light. And we have no light to give them unless we're spending time in the source of the light to get our light from. How bright is your light shining? I wish I had, I don't know if he even still has it, it can be found. It's probably about to fall to pieces. Things probably at least 40-something years old at least. I never forget that image of taking that light out of that water. And the farther away it gets from the salt, the dimmer that got light, the dimmer the light got. And I can't help but believe that the farther we get away from God's word, the dimmer our light gets. Don't curse the darkness. Don't be angry at those that are in darkness. Just turn on the light. Get connected. Get close to the source of the light and then let it shine. Let it shine till you get tired. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not it, is it? Let it shine till Jesus comes. Just let it shine.